Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now, I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula Podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your favorite Canadian, Rico, back at it again. You are tuned in to BFPN, Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network, home to 7 days a week of Buffalo Bills content, news, updates, analysis, you name it, we got it 7 days a week. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume. It's BFPN, Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network.
What is going on, Bills Mafia? Welcome in. Welcome into the Overreaction Bills Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, the voice of the Overreaction Bills Podcast, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Joe Miller Wired. And as I always like to say, wherever this podcast finds you, whether it finds you around a cup of coffee, on the way to work, in the car, fighting the commute, if you will, or at the gym with your AirPods in, I just want to say thank you for listening. As always, it's just a pleasure. Even on days like today when I don't want to talk about the Buffalo Bills, and you probably don't want to listen to me talk about the Buffalo Bills. In a football game that saw our Buffalo Bills lose to the Kansas City Chiefs 26-17, and to the seeming utter delight to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, the Chiefs beat the Bills in what I would probably not consider a very difficult contest for them. Yes, the score was kind of close to most of the game, but it wasn't as close as the score dictated. And it just, you know, I'm tired of every announcing crew pining on about the other team. Can we just start there? I'm legit tired of every announcing crew pining on and on about the other team, regardless of what team we're playing. Maybe except the Jets, right? All we heard about in the Dolphins game was this Gaskin kid and how great Gesicki is and, oh, Fitzmagic. And then you get the Rams, and all we get to hear about is how young McVay is and how great Jared Goff is and blah, 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 blah. And then the Titans game, and you know, you just about pretty much consider Derrick Henry to be the greatest running back that's ever played football in the NFL, and oh, COVID this, and how resilient they are, and Tannehill, and having the game of his life, and blah, 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 and then, you know, the Chiefs are coming to town, and you know, it's just like the Buffalo Bills aren't even on the field, and I get it. You've got to give the announcers a reason to talk about your football team, and by and large, the Bills don't. And even when they do start to give the announcers a reason to talk about it, and the national media is losing their minds over Josh Allen being in the MVP talk and how great this offense is, and the defense has taken a step back, but it's okay because, you know, all the defenses have taken a step back. But, you know, I know that it's a little more difficult for the announcers, and the announcers still don't necessarily know all of our players' names. I get that the team has to do something to give the announcers something to talk about in good form for your football team, but I'm just over it. At some point, the announcers have to be unbiased and objective. I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of the announcing crews pining on, as I said, about whoever the Bills are playing and how this is great and that is great. And Josh Allen's, my God, Terry Bradshaw, like, just basically said that Josh Allen's inaccurate and will always be inaccurate. The dude was at 70% completions 2 weeks ago. 70. Guess what, Mr. Bradshaw? You were never at 70% completions ever in your life. Just shut up. Just sit down and stop mumbling and stumbling over your... I generally like Terry Bradshaw, but to be honest with you, I'm done with that dude. It just speaks to who we are, right? I mean, it just literally speaks to Bills fans. You know, we're how do we feel? We're overlooked. You know, if you're from Buffalo, and most of us are, 95% of Bills fans, Bills Mafia, if not 90%, 95% of us are from, we're sons and daughters of Buffalo. We feel the way that our city is represented in our hearts. We're overlooked, undervalued, dismissed. We've been called Siberia, the armpit of America. We are the consummate underdog. It's literally born into our nature that's who we are. And that's the reason that we live and die by this football fan. People talk about the fan base in Buffalo and how it's so much different. Even Aikman said it. The fans here are just different, and it's true. But it's the reason that we live and die by the Bills. To us, the Buffalo Bills are the nation's window into who we are. They are the only true representation of us. One of the wonders of the world is kind of sort of in Buffalo, but not really, because it's 20 miles north of us in Niagara Falls, a completely different city. The only thing we have are the Buffalo Bills. In our hearts, we're tough. We're resilient. We're scrappy. We're unrelenting. We are, as I said, the consummate underdog, which speaks to one of the things that I talk about all the time on this podcast, that we have an underdog problem. We love the guy on the bench because we are the guy on the bench. Unrelenting. And that's why it hurts so much when our team, in our opinion, misrepresents us. And this team has done it a lot in the last 20 years. It's why Bills Mafia is a thing. And I'm not even going to get into the concern I have over the Bills organization trademarking the term and destroying the whole entire movement. Because that's what happens when corporate dollars get attached to something that's grassroots, something that's guerrilla marketing, something that's born out of nothing. I'm not going to talk about that. But Bills Mafia, we are a living, breathing organism, wholly independent from the team we love, yet totally dependent on the representation of who we are. They are an extension of who we are as a people. Whether you still live in Buffalo or not, they represent where we come from. They define us in culture. And it hurts our hearts, and it hurts my heart when a team that I can't even recognize shows up on a football field in prime time 2 weeks in a row. At least do that garbage nonsense, whatever it is you're going to put on the field against the Titans and the Chiefs on Sunday at 1 o'clock in a snoozer game with two announcers that nobody's ever even heard of. Don't do it under the lights. Please don't. You did it under the lights. The good news is that sound you hear are people falling off the bandwagon all over the country right now. Two games in a row, Josh Allen comes in. MVP hype. MVP hype. The reality is the way this football team is playing, and I'm off script already. Basically, to hell with the notes in this show, I guess. But you're talking about a football team that it's absolutely 100% clear that they need Josh Allen to play like the league MVP to win. Because that's what happened weeks 1 through 4. And the 2 weeks that he did not, they could not. Last week I told you this that game against the Titans, the Josh Allen with his stat line of, what was it, 260-something. I can't remember exactly what the completion percentage was, 63%, or maybe it was a little lower than that, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, was not a step-back game. Guess what? This was a step-back game. Ten points at the end of the third quarter. That's all we could get was 10 points. In order for Josh Allen and this football team to win, Josh is going to have to play like the league MVP in order to win. Because this team does not play defense. It's literally just, they're just out there on the field trying to get in people's way. They can't make tackles. They're not sound in technique. It's embarrassing. And the reality is after the last two weeks, we can pretty much pause the MVP talk for Josh Allen. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. Because what an MVP does is he takes his team, his crappy defense, he puts it on his shoulders, and he outscores your opponent or the opponent. But we're talking about a game that featured two of the most prolific and dangerous offenses in the NFL, and we got sort of a snooze fest. My 13-year-old daughter picks her head up from the couch right around the middle of the third quarter and is just like, this is a boring football game. And I'm like, you're right, babe. And my daughter loves the Bills, so don't get the wrong idea. She's a Bills fanatic. She is insane about the Buffalo Bills. She tells me every day that she's going to marry Josh Allen, which more power to you, kid. I hope you do. But whether it was the weather, or I know they talked earlier in the day that they had repelleted the field, and I know Aikman talked about it. There was a couple shots they showed of the ball with like the little black pellets all over it, and clearly guys were losing their footing. I don't know what was up necessarily with the offenses on both teams. I don't think that it may have been game plan. Who knows? It may have been a situation that, you know, the reality is, you know, this was a pick your poison game, probably for both teams, although the Bills basically poisoned themselves on offense. But, you know, we talk about a pick your poison game, and the Bills picked run. The Bills basically said, hey, if you're going to beat us, it's not going to be because of Pat Mahomes. And the Chiefs obliged, and they ran the ball straight down their freaking throats. And worse yet, I don't think Edwards-Helaire got tackled by the first person that tackled him at all in the first three quarters. They were never behind in downs and distance. They were never behind in the sticks. I can remember one, maybe two third and longs, and they converted them both. I know they punted once, and then they punted in the first half, and they punted once in the second half. That's not what I'm talking about. Punting one time and a half is not indicative of an entire game. The Bills, where did this defense go? Like, what is going on? And here's the thing. There's no real bright side to this conversation that we're going to have today. So if you want to hear the bright side, I would encourage you to tune into something else, because I don't have a bright side for you. And while I'm telling you that there's no bright side to this football game, and it's in some aspects worse than the one that happened 6 days ago against the Titans, I'm still going to tell you that all is not lost. The sky is not falling. The season is not over. So don't get ahead of me and think that I'm that guy. I'm not Mr. Negative that's writing articles in the Buffalo Snooze, and I'm not Mr. Negative that's on the radio talking about how this team is never going to win a game and they're not a real football team and culture this and, you know, momentum that. That's not what we're talking about. I'm just telling you that I'm pissed off about this football game. And judging by the responses that I'm going to read you guys very soon, you're all pissed off about it too. We wanted and hoped that this football game would be a peek at the future in the AFC, that we were going to see Mahomes versus Allen as the top two quarterbacks in the AFC for a very long time. It was you know, I was bordering on, you know, Marino Kelly type situation where Marino was the guy that came in first before Jim Kelly, and Marino had early success, like Mahomes had early success, and then Kelly came in and Allen came in, and there was a rounding out and a growth that kind of happened, and then eventually these were the two guys in the AFC, and then yes, there was a little bit of John Elway sprinkled in there, but by and large, it was these two. That's what I had hoped to see a peak of, and I'm not saying that that's not still going to happen. I'm just a little disappointed right now. But like I said, this is a team that needs Josh Allen to play like the league MVP right now in order to win, because this defense is not capable of stopping other NFL offenses. I don't care who the quarterback is at this point. And when we talk about Josh Allen, and I don't have his stats in front of me, I'll get them here in a second. You know, he wasn't sharp early, and he wasn't sharp for most of this football game. And I know that Mahomes had a little bit of trouble handling the ball too, but his completion percentage was not horrific like Josh's was. He was just missing throws. And as much as I'm aware the DBs were playing tight, daring the Bills to throw long over them, they were forcing the ball downfield way too early, way too much. I'm just kind of at a loss of words. I mean, there just wasn't much about that football game that was redeeming for me, other than maybe Singletary and Moss. The run game kind of came to life a little bit, and I'll get to the stats here before we go to break. But Singletary and Moss looked okay. Moss had some drive and had some desire to get through, and Singletary broke some stuff and looked good early. He still clearly has trouble running between the tackles. We saw the return of Josh Allen running the football. There was the return of the quarterback sweep, which picked up a first down, or I think it didn't. I think they got 3 yards. But that defense, I don't have... that's literally where I'm at with that defense. And I think it's hard because, like, at halftime against the Kansas City Chiefs, the defense had only let up 13 points. But you're also talking about a defense that was, or an offense against the defense, a defense that was allowing 8 yards per carry at one point. That is literally as mind-boggling and baffling as it sounded like the announcers were making it out to be, because it's legit mind-boggling and baffling to allow a running back to average through the course of a game 7.5 to 8 yards per carry. It just doesn't happen. The defense was not good early, and they were not great late. Well, they made some stops in the fourth quarter late. Well, sure, at that point it didn't matter. The freaking Chiefs were just running the ball, and the Bills decided to start committing to stopping the run because they had to, and the Chiefs were like, they weren't going to put the ball in harm's way. They weren't going to throw it. I mean, you're talking about a game, and if I have to, literally this whole, and it's funny because I did this last week too. Last week against the Titans, I summed up that entire football game by the interception that was brought back by Butler, Malcolm Butler, who refused to go down, and the Bills just couldn't tackle him no matter what they did. That to me was the story of that football game. One team that really wanted it, and the other team that just wanted nothing to do with it. The story of this football game can also be kind of summed up in a sequence of plays. And it began to be a great sequence of plays. It's the end of this. It's you're coming down to the end of the half. AJ Klein does something. Oh my gosh, AJ Klein does something. He actually forces a fumble off of Travis Kelce. Norman recovers it. Amazing. You're thinking 6 seconds left, there's not really much we can do. But then lo and behold, there's a quick pass to Diggs. And like, he's out of bounds with 1 second left on the clock. And you're like, oh my gosh. They're like they're going to be able to kick a field goal and get, like, they're going to go into halftime 13-13. Like, there's hope. Make some adjustments at halftime. It's a 0-0 ball game. We got one half of football to play. Yes, the Chiefs are going to get the ball first. But regardless, you know, like, there's hope in this. As much, like, it's time to start putting some of this bad football behind us. And then Tyler Bass comes out and not only misses the kick, but misses the net. He missed that kick so bad, he missed the net. literally was the story of the football game, that whole sequence. For every good things that were done, or every small things that were done, or things here that were kind of a flash, there was something that was egregious, and it just wiped away all of it. But at halftime of this football game, it was 13-10 of the Chiefs, and you could almost say that they weathered the storm. And I don't mean that as a pun. Like, literally, you know, you don't expect to see the Chiefs only putting up 13 points by the half, right? If you do, you think that you're winning the football game. But then at the end of the third quarter, and this is the stuff that I'm also, like, getting tired of as I'm sitting here thinking about it. The time is running out in the third quarter, and they, like, you know, they're trying to draw them off sides on a third and two. Hut, hut, hut. And they're just getting cute, like trying to pick up cheap. You know, why not just line up and play football? You've got the weapons. You've got the men to punch people in the face, to just line up and beat the guy across the line of scrimmage. But we're going to sit there in the last 20 seconds of the freaking quarter, hut, 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 trying to draw people offsides instead of just snap the freaking ball and punch him in the mouth. What happens? It goes to freaking timeout for the quarter change. They come back, third and two, line it back up, can't get the first down, punt the ball away. Trash. That's trash football. Think about this for a second. You know how I feel about Corey Bohorquez. For the last two games, the most exciting player on your football team, Bills Mafia, is Corey Bohorquez. We're back at the point we have been reduced to the Brian Moorman days, where we just couldn't wait for Brian Moorman to get back on the field and punt the ball because, oh my gosh, look at how far he just kicked that ball. Brian Moorman's the man. Brian Moorman is still a legend in this town because he was like the greatest. Argue it with me. Tweet me if you don't believe me. Brian Moorman was the greatest drought player on this football team. Name me somebody better. You can't. For the last two games, the most exciting player on the Buffalo Bills football team has been Corey Bohorquez. Congratulations, Corey. I'm going to end up buying a jersey. I'm committed to it, and I made a promise, and my word is my bond. I'm going to end up with a Corey Bohorquez jersey, and you might see it on the Hump Day Hotline on Wednesday nights relatively soon. I just got to order it and get it shipped here, but it's coming. The reality is this. I told you a second ago. If you're looking for positivity, if you're looking for the bright side, there's a lot of places you can go to get that. There's guys that are going to come out, and I love them. There's podcasters, and there's radio guys, and there's content creators that are going to come out this week and tell you why not all of it was bad and not all things were bad. But that's not what this show is about. This is an overreaction show, and I'm telling you what I felt sitting on the couch, and it's probably what you felt too. And I'm angry and I'm upset and I'm embarrassed by my football team that embarrassed me. But all is not lost. After going 4-0 in the first quarter of the season, which is an amazing, that's why you need to go 4-0 in the first quarter of the season. The Bills are now 4-2, dropping their last two. Even with the PTSD of past hot starts by this franchise, I have to believe this team, this staff, is just different. As I told you, the sky is not falling. The season is not over. I still believe that a lot of the problems that we have seen so far this year are correctable. I still, call me insane, I still believe in this defense. We are literally getting the Jets at the right time, exactly the right time. We will know one of two things next week. Next week, either the wheels will be off the bus, and like literally the sky will be falling, like meteors will be coming down from the earth or from the sky, or football will be fun again. I have a tendency to believe that football is going to be fun again this time next week. But all is not lost. Not painting a very bright picture, but trust me on this one. We're not at the point of throwing in the towel. Real quick before we go to break, or I should say before I give you stats, then go to break. You are listening to the Overreaction Bills podcast brought to you by the Market Dominator. I talk to you about it every week on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I'm your host, the voice of the Overreaction podcast, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Here's the thing. I don't know what you got going on in your life, My wife and I, and I'm going to give you a little bit of personal information. We are in the process and about to close on refinancing our house. We are literally going to refinance our house at 2.75%. I've heard rates right now on real estate as low as like 2.2%. If you are in the market to buy a new home or to sell your home or the home you have, you need to call my dude, John Spaschek, the market dominator, and get him and his team involved. Not only is he going to walk you through the process through exceptional client care and education, but he's going to connect you to his team. And his team is by far and away. You don't become the best real estate broker in Western New York without having the best team surrounding you. And John has all of those things. If you're buying a house, if you're selling a house, you need to especially if you're doing it by owner. You will never maximize the price or the value of your property if you're selling by owner. You need an agent. You need the best agent in town. Call John, my buddy John, the market dominator. You can reach him at 716-570-3298. His number again, 716-570-3298. You can also email him at yourelitebroker@gmail.com, yourelitebroker@gmail.com. Do me a favor. When you call him or when you email him, make sure you let him know that that the voice sent you. And do yourself a favor and get a hold of John. Trust me, I'm telling you. People tell me all the time, Joe, you were right. I called John. I used John. John's the best. Like the testimonies that I get about this guy, and I have them myself because he's a friend and I use him. It's amazing. So like I said, do yourself a favor. And oh, by the way, if you're not in Buffalo, he can help you wherever you are too. So give John a call. Let's talk stats real quick. So in a football game that even when the season came out, I full well expected to be kind of like the measuring stick. We would be able to judge where the Bills are. And I don't know that this was a true testament to who the Bills are this season or who they're going to be. You know, is there some solace taken in the fact that like they didn't get blown out, they didn't get torched? The funny thing is like there was a lot of people calling like expected like the Chiefs to put a 50 burger on us. There was a lot of us that thought this game was going to be 47 to 45, that these two offenses were going to come out there and just light it up. They didn't. Even Pat Mahomes' day was kind of pedestrian. Obviously, like I said, it was a pick your poison day. The Bills picked the rush. They, you know, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us on the ground, especially with a head coach and an offensive coordinator that doesn't like to run the ball, and they did just that. I think Edwards-Helaire had like 100 yards like two plays after the second half even started. But in this game, Pat Mahomes had he was 21 of 26, crazy efficient, unbelievably efficient, 225 yards, two touchdowns, with an 81 quarterback rating, or I'm sorry, 128 quarterback rating. Rushing the football, Edwards-Helaire was 26 carries for 161 yards. By the end of the game, he was averaging 6.2 yards per carry. That's on 26 carries. That was with a bunch of stuffs at the end. 26 carries, 161 yards, 6.2. That's crazy. Pat Mahomes was 10 for 36 yards. Darrell Williams, 6 of 26. He averaged 4.3. Darwin Thompson, like I've never heard of this guy, was... He averaged, 5.7 yards per carry. Tyreek Hill had one rush for 5 yards. Receiving, DeMarcus Robinson, 5 of 69. Travis Kelce, 5 of 65. Held in check, right? So they did a good job with Kelce, two touchdowns. And so this is the part, like when I was talking about, like, you know, I know you want the bright side, and like, I'm not Mr. Brightside today, so I apologize ahead of time. But as much as I'm not Mr. Brightside, the Bills defense did hold the Kansas City passing offense in check. However, I don't know if that's because they just took what the defense would give them, and they were just basically taking advantage of the fact like that the Bills were giving up the run big time and ran it downhill straight at the Bills or what. But it was commendable. You know, Tre'Davious White was back in this football game, and like he basically sucked the life out of Tyreek Hill, and he was on Travis Kelce a lot. But Kelce was 5 of 65, two touchdowns. Byron Pringle, like 2 for 46, and then Tyreek Hill 3 for 20. Now, the Bills, yeah, it wasn't. Josh Allen, 14 of 27. I think that's just over 50%. Just over 50%. It might be almost 50 exactly, or 49. Is it 40? No, it's 51-ish, somewhere around there. I'm not doing the math. So 122 whole yards. Awesome. Average 4.5 yards. I don't know how many deep balls he uncorked. It was a lot. None of them were there. And it got to the point where, like, even the announcers, Joe Buck and Aikman, were kind of talking about the fact that, like, how bad he was missing. Like, oh, and here he's missing this one, and here he's missing that one. Two touchdowns, a bad interception late when it didn't matter. He had a quarterback rating of 73. rushing. Josh Allen led the way. That's a surprise to me. I thought Devin did better. I started the show talking about like Devin was kind of a bright spot. Apparently not. Josh Allen was 8 for 42 yards. Devin Singletary, 10 of 32, averaging 3.2. Zach Moss, 5 for 10, 2-yard average. They've got to do something about this. Man, it's hard for me when I have notes. This is literally this football game. When I've got notes, and it's like, these are the things I think I felt, and then when I like read the statistics back to myself, it's almost the opposite. The things that I thought were good were not good. The things that I thought were bad were still bad. Stephon Diggs, 6 of 46 with a touchdown. It was a beautiful toe drag swag catch. It was a great catch and a great touchdown. Cole Beasley also had a really nice touchdown, 4 for 45. Devin Singletary was 1 for 13. I guess a bright spot in this game is, once again, Josh Allen hit, what is this, 7? He targeted 7 or 8 wide receivers and hit 7 of them. So there just wasn't a lot about this football game that was great. It's very forgettable. Like I said, all the hype and all the attention that it should have had, you know, I as much as I said, I would rather it be buried on Sunday at 1 o'clock behind some really big games with a couple of crap announcers. The fact that it was on at 5 o'clock, you know, it was basically probably a turn on and then turn off, or a turn on, watch it for a couple minutes by the nation and then turn it off or ignore it, just because there wasn't really, you know, you turn that game on, it's 10-13 in the third quarter, and you're like, well, this isn't this, and it's raining. You're probably like, this isn't a fun game to watch. So you probably go outside, clean the garage if you live in, you know, I don't know, Indiana or something. But it just wasn't a great football game. It wasn't anywhere close to the hype. And, you know, as a person who had expected, I would tell you, the Bills to lose that football game, I didn't expect the game I got. My expectations were more in the 40-38, 45-42, 47-45. I thought there was going to be footballs thrown all over the field. Talking to you guys about it is a little cathartic. I am actually feeling a little bit better. I would tell you I'm probably not as hot or numb as I was when this podcast started, but you know, it is what it is. But what I want to do is I want to move into the time when I read your tweets. This is what the Overreaction Bills podcast is all about. It's all about how we're feeling after these football games, win or lose, tie, indifferent. This show is I like to say it's done by a fan, me, and it's for the fans, you. And basically what I'm trying to do is just encapsulate how you guys are feeling, how I'm feeling, and there's no better way to do that than to just straight up read your tweets. So again, I don't pre-read these. These are literally off the cuff. So you're going to hear me read them for the very first time, and I'm going to say what I always say, which is some of your guys' handles are really hard to read. So please show me some grace in some of this stuff. But the first one we got is from Cappy99 at DavidCapella1. Line of scrimmage continues to plague us on both sides of the football. Brother, preach. Preach, brother. Can you write the Bills a letter and tell them that? Because I'm not so sure they see it. Teams have caught on how to defend our offense, being that it's been one-dimensional. I want to stop there just because I'm not so sure that teams have caught up to the Bills as much as I feel like the Bills are doing something different. I feel like they're trying to be something that they're not, or they've changed what they're trying to do. I know that sounds weird. It doesn't seem like Josh Allen is comfortable. And I don't know if Josh Allen is not comfortable, because when they opened up, he was very excited about the game plan, or he felt a really good flow or connection to the game plan. And these last two, it's been a little more not. They just look different. But to your point, would you say teams have caught on how to defend our offense, being that it's one-dimensional? Just like last year, we are failing to win the games against playoff-caliber squads. Indifferent after this one. Is the Super Bowl champ. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry, bro. Cappy. Primetime Hanover says, at Joey Hanover, pretty bad defensive plan to eliminate big plays. Just slowed any chance of the offense gaining or keeping momentum. They are very clearly not capable of stopping chunk plays. So if that's all it ever takes to march, that's all we're going to face. That's true. It's very true. I can't argue with that. Apex 00 at Apex 006. Irritated at the defense, but better than last week. We lost two against some of the best teams in the NFL, meaning the Titans and the Chiefs. We have to get the D fixed, but we are still in great position. I like your optimism, brother. Mask up at Cody J. Salisbury. 3 weeks ago, I thought they could compete with everyone. After getting completely annihilated by Tennessee and slapped around by Kansas City tonight, I'm not nearly as confident. I think there's an aspect for me as well when it comes to a statement like that, that, like, you know, it's the whole, they did the whole pregame thing on how, like, upset the Chiefs were and how embarrassed the Chiefs were, and, you know, we're going to get this right because we got, and they didn't really say anything about the Bills and the fact that the Bills got embarrassed by the Titans. And, like, you know, the Bills, I'm sure, came at this week the same way, that, like, we're going to fix the things that are broken, and we're going to, like, hold people accountable, and, you know, we say all the right things because that's what we do. Meanwhile, just basically everything that they did last week, for the most part, resurfaced, right? It just wasn't great. Mike DeChocho, my buddy Mike, Mikey D at Mike DeChocho. Why are the Bills forcing Josh to be a pocket passer? Roll him out more and allow his receivers to make something happen downfield. Also, only one screen attempt to motor that I recall, and it was a 10-plus yard play. Seems like they're not taking what they can get. That's a funny comment. Not funny, haha, but, like, interesting because, coming out of the half, they had asked McDermott what they were doing, and he basically said they were just taking, like, what the defense was giving them. And I would agree with you, Mike, that they weren't necessarily taking what the defense was giving them. They were forcing the ball downfield a lot. And the reason is because what I said earlier, the backs were playing very tight and almost forcing Josh to go over the top. So basically they said, go ahead, throw it. I bet you can't. And he tried, and it didn't work. So they called our bluff, and it worked. SportsFan 723. At Eric, A-R-I-K, Swetlik, S-W-E-T-L-I-K. My tweet earlier was the defense was the problem, but offense and the play calling was the issue. Whether to start and three straight passes to start. Nope. Commit more to the run, which worked off tackle. Defense was gashed in run game, but held up kind of. Yeah, it's a weird, they didn't hold up at all, but it, you know, it's hard to say that the run game was what beat us, even though that score was indicative of getting beat and getting thrashed on the ground, right, by a great running back. I mean, that score was indicative of a team that plays great defense and then runs the ball down your throat, which is not who the Chiefs are. Richard Rush, my buddy Rich, at Richard R. Rush, too. My mind is physically exhausted. The stupid unsportsmanlike penalties on Trey and Power. Diggs walking back to the line and getting a false start. I don't think they're supposed to say Power. Who had the other unsportsmanlike conduct? Poyer. It's a autocorrect. Entree and Poyer. Yeah, both those were, and they were like, they're on the same drive, right? So not back to back, but close to back to back. Diggs walking back to the line and getting a false start was disheartening. It's got to be better against the Jets and the Patriots. I don't know. I'm just numb. And he gives me the peace fingers right there with you, bro. The bus stops here at BUSSJK, BusJK. We played two good teams the past 2 weeks. Our weaknesses got exposed. Our defense looks atrocious. That's an understatement. Josh didn't look good tonight. He hasn't looked good for 2 weeks. He didn't look awful last week. He looked unsettled last week. He looked very much rushed and hurried and like he was not ready to play, but he did not look awful last week. He did not look good at all this week at all. The wide receivers dropped too many balls. The run game is abhorrent. But we're still 4-2. They need the next two games to be wins. Right the ship. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the Jets are coming into, or we're going there. But the Jets game is coming up at the perfect time. The perfect time. Actually, I'm not sure where this football game is. I'm pretty sure we're going to New Jersey. Regardless of that, like, you're coming out into this football game into a team that's getting rid of their players, jettisoning their players. And, you know, we could come out of that football game 5-2, which is a totally different outlook. And like I said, football can be fun again. T. Estelle, big fan in front of the show. T. Estelle, and T, by the way, if you guys follow her at TEESTELL, she has a podcast of her own and it's really good. I'm only here to say Super Bowl champs. And we were exploited. So she's saying that the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs and they exploited us, and she's not wrong. Dave Thorpe, my buddy Dave, big time fan in front of the show at SaxaDave. Mixed emotions. On one hand, I want to wreck the joint and go nuts, but on the other, I'm like 4-2 in hand. Meh. I just want to go back to the week's 1-4 offense. Yeah, we know our defense sucks. They can stop the pass, or they can't stop the pass or run. They can stop the pass or run, but not both together. Sorry, misread that. Oh, well, so let's light them up with our O. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, we need Josh Allen to win football games. This defense cannot hold, so Josh Allen is going to have to do what we believe he can do. He finishes it up with, in the immortal words of Kurgan in Highlander, the young'uns won't get that. And excuse the pun. It's better to burn out than fade away. Gotcha, I see where he's going with this. Feels like we got intimidated the last 2 weeks, like we didn't believe we could match them, let alone beat them, and changed what we can do well. And there's something to be said. Sometimes you just know who you are, to Dave's point. And you just go up and you line up and you play football. And you just say, hey, you know what? Stop us, right? And it just doesn't seem like the Bills are, it seems like they're getting cute or they're trying to game plan too much, as opposed to being like, look, We have a blueprint on how to win football games, and we're going to go out there and we're going to play our blueprint. And if you beat us, great. But you know what? I don't think you can. And they did. C-Dub at Chris Wells, 73, going 2-2 over a tough four-game stretch. Not too shabby. I think this team can win six to seven of the next 10 games despite their current issues. Unless we lose to the Jets next weekend, then holy hell, we are in serious, serious trouble. It's true. David S. Pumpkin season at Matt Henry, 92, is the handle. Not worried, though. We might have had chance coming into the second half, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. I believe the Chiefs lost two or three in a row last year, and look what happened to them. I'm not saying we are winning the Super Bowl, but people need to put the pump the brakes a little bit. He's right. He's right. We're just overreacting on the show, because if we didn't overreact, then there'd be no point in listening to this show. Drunk at the Ralph. Frank Gore might put up 100 yards on this defense next week. With that being said, I'm not nervous about this team yet. Dolphins have the Rams. Pats have the Niners this week. It's true. Like, what we're going to do in this division is kind of already written. Joey V at Joey V 2988. Very sad. We were in it the first half. It just seems like the third quarter this year, we aren't able to keep anything alive or get anything going. The really good teams will burn you bad if you play coach like that. Very tough loss. Hoping a win versus the Jets will boost morale. True. I can't argue with it. Bailey at Allen to Diggs. I wish we could finally prove we are legit and not go through the same things every year. Right there with you. Buddy Mills at Buddy Mills underscore EIT. This team being elite was a mirage. They are still a work in progress. Lots of games left to work and many issues. The yardstick of progress remains winning a playoff game. Absolutely. Totally right there. It all comes, 10-6, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, whatever it is. You know, we got to win a playoff game. TJ in Atlanta at Dat Dude 404. Punt unit was lights out. I'm getting a jersey. I'm coming for you, Corey. I'm getting a jersey, bro. Mikey G at Mikey G 417. Like, we don't belong in the top 10 and we'll make the playoffs and an early exit only to incorporate the same soft defense that we do every year. We don't belong in the top 10. Okay, so he's saying we don't belong in the top 10 and we'll make the playoffs and we'll get an early exit only to incorporate the same soft defense that we do every year. Gotcha. Got it. John F. Kennedy Jr. Wow, that's high praise. The John F. Kennedy Jr. is in here with me. At JFK Jr. 247. Next week is a get right game. What happened to the weeks 1-4, Josh Allen? Yeah, I don't know if it's a Josh Allen thing. I don't know if it's a scheme thing. I don't know if it's the defenses we're playing. I don't know if they figured some stuff out. Like, I'm right there with you. I don't know what's going on. Justin at Justin Time 20. Leslie Frazier should be on very, very thin ice. The defense has played like crap 2 weeks in a row. The defense has not played well all season, Justin. And Murphy then promote Cox Jr. and Zimmer to the 53-man roster for good. D-line was way overpaid. There's rumors out there that Murphy is on the trade block. I don't know how that's possible because you can't get anything for that guy, but we'll see. Cuomo, semicolon tyrant, at Cuomo is a tyrant. Stop running Singletary up the middle. It doesn't work. He's not that guy. Let Josh throw the dang ball. And I am right there with you on those things. I think that's all of them. Let me just look through real quick. I do believe that's all of the tweets that I've got from you guys. Man, what a game. What a bummer. On to the next one, right? So we're on to New York. We're officially on to New York. That's basically what we're talking about at this point. I apologize to all of you. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. You know, it's great. I'm sure the show is amazing to you guys when we're winning, and it's probably kind of a bummer to you when we're losing. But the reality is I taped this show right after the football game, and this is how I feel. So if you don't want to hear it, I apologize. It just is what it is. Here's what's up. So we are making a change here at Buffalo Fanatics. We are going from everybody being on the same exact podcast channel to everybody having their own podcast channels. And that's actually not the correct term. The correct term is RSS feeds. But I'm going to use the word channel just because that is probably what makes the most sense to you guys. If you are not subscribed to my channel, to my RSS feed, I would request that you do so right now. Navigate through your whatever podcast platform you love the most, whether it's Spotify or iTunes or Google Play or whatever, Podbean, I don't know, and find me, search Overreaction Bills or Overreaction Sports Podcast, subscribe to it. That way you make sure you never miss a show from me, because I'm going to be doing more stuff. Like I do a preview show usually every week, and there's going to be some special things coming up here in the future. But once again, everybody, I just want to thank you guys for being here. Again, we got the Jets coming in at the perfect time. The Buffalo Bills are 4-2. All is not lost. This was not a great football game. This has not been a great 2 weeks of football, and I promise you the Bills know that. All we can do is hope that they can get some of this stuff fixed. And the reality is, you know, we say it a lot, you heard it said a lot, that you don't want to be playing your best football in September and October. You want to be playing good football in September and October so that you have a chance to play in January. But you want to be playing your best football in January. So here's to hoping that, you know, we're going to begin trending up, that this is the low point of the season for this Buffalo Bills football team. But once again, you are listening or have listened to the Overreaction Bills podcast brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, the voice of the Overreaction Bills podcast, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired with the one and single guarantee that I will always follow you back unless you tweet porn. I won't unfollow you, I should say, unless you tweet porn. Basically, what that means is that's your political guarantee. I don't care what your politics are. There are people out there that don't like me because of my politics, even though I don't really have any. I'm kind of in the middle. But I don't stand like for one or the other. I just kind of like trash both. But I'm just letting you know that regardless of your politics, I will not untweet you for that or unfollow you for that. I will only unfollow you if you tweet porn. So I want to thank you guys for listening. We got the Jets coming. We got the Jets coming up. So we're going to see what this team is made of. You know, the reality is that Jets team, as much as their offense is a shambles and that it's a disaster franchise and the organization is a mess, they can still play very good defense. So here's to hoping that this Buffalo Bills organization can figure out what the heck is going on. Until then, until this next weekend, until Saturday, when I get you guys a preview show Saturday, Sunday, I hope this week treats you well. I hope you guys stay warm. I hope you stay safe. I hope you stay COVID-free. Appreciate you guys listening to me. Love you so much. Go Bills.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Making your cat happy is a number one priority. Priority number two is keeping a clean litter box. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter helps you do both. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter traps waste at the surface with less crumbles and absorbs more waste and odor compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Find Fresh Step Outstretch Litter at a store near you today. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salute to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.